Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prahlad.
Hare Krishna. Okay, well, I don't know how good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sorry, I was just with Niranjan Maharaj, so I ran over from his place to here. I don't know how good my internet will be here. Let's see. Maybe we'll have to cut off the video part. How are you in the same place you were in the last time?
Yes, it's the same flat. It's the flat of Bhakta Alex and Mataji Katyana.
Hare Krishna. Okay, yes. Last time I wasn't looking out the window.
Yeah, we closed it.
Can
open it if you want.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, we're here in Mayapur. It's very, very beautiful weather. Well, I can't show you because everything's dark. It's dark outside now. And we're just about to have a kirtan, evening kirtan, because Niranjan Maharaj is leaving tomorrow. And so he invited devotees to come. And we did the same yesterday. And our meetings are finished. Our GBC meetings. It was very good, very productive, but it was very long. 3 weeks of different types of meetings. Well, yeah, we don't need to translate, right?
No.
Fantastic. And that GBC, well, I don't know if devotees know, that's called the Governing Body Commission. That's the governing body of ISKCON, and it's a global society. So it has global representatives. There's 35 of us about, but there was about 10 short, so there was about 26 devotees. And then in the middle of that, we had one meeting which was called the SGGS, the Sannyasi Guru GBC Sangha. So the gurus and sannyasis, as well as the governing body members, they came and together for 4 days. And then we had another separate meeting with the leadership, the top echelon leadership of India, meaning ISKCON India. And then in between those and before and after, we had our own things. And then many devotees sort of left already. Some are still here. Now starts the festival. Third summer festival. And there's the Kirtan Mela is going on now. And that's had its own share of controversies. And that goes on until the 27th, day after tomorrow. Day after tomorrow is also Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disappearance. That's one of the very devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, one of the founders, you can say, of Krishna consciousness. Founder in the sense that he was one of the early devotees. And then from 28th to 7th, we have Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, which here, Navadvip is Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, and it's actually the spiritual world which is transposed on to the canvas of the material world, just like when you project something. And it's an 164 square mile area. So we go to different holy places, and it's over a period of 8 days. A lot of devotees camp out, some just come and go every day, and then they go around. There's 11,000 devotees on the parikrama. So, and that's just for ISKCON. Other Vaishnavas also do it. But it's broken up. There's the English speaking, there's the Russian speaking, then there's the Bengali, and there's the non-Bengali Indians. So there's about 4 or 5 groups, maybe even 6, and they move to different places at different times. So we'll do some of that. Then from the 7th to 12th is the festival here, seminars, cultural program, dramas, and so on. I'll do a seminar 4 days on Varnashrama. And then on the 12th is Gopurnima, which is Lord Chaitanya's birthday. And that's a big celebration. There's about anywhere from 400,000 to 500,000 people come, just pilgrims. Other Vaishnavas come to our campus, and then there's more, so there's many here in the area. And then devotees leave. They usually leave 13th, 14th. Then 14th I will go, and I'll go to Vrindavan for a week. And then I'll come back and stay here until first week of April. Then I'll start heading back to, then I'll go to Hungary through Dubai. Excuse me, I'm going to drink this. Okay, I gave you my report. Tell me what you're doing. What are you doing aside from having a program?
Yes, we'll have a little program now. After our discussion with you, we'll have a kirtan, then prasadam, and then tomorrow we'll have a little Sunday feast program for our guests.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have kirtan lecture also, and prasadam, of course.
Hmm. Okay. And then how long will you stay there?
I'll stay till Tuesday, and then seems to be because the selling of the house will take some more time than I expected, because now it's not the most favorable season or time to sell houses, because it's the winter time.
Yeah, spring is a good time.
Yeah, therefore it seems to be that we'll have to rent with Moksha for a few months. We'll rent a flat here in Bucharest, and we'll move to Bucharest, and when the house will be sold, we'll go there, we'll make the contract, and then we'll come here and we'll buy a flat here. But till the house is sold, we'll rent a flat here.
Have you found a place yet, or are you looking?
No, because we were looking, of course, we saw many flats, we have different ideas. Unfortunately, we don't have so much money, but we'll try our best to buy a flat which will be as much as possible convenient for you and Shyam Bihari to stay when you come to Bucharest. So that's the idea. But let's see Gilmash, how it's going.
Okay. Maybe sometime we should talk about that separately.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I spoke a little with Niranjan Maharaj. He was okay about about your being there. And yeah. Today's also Shivaratri. At least it's here, it's Shivaratri. It may have been there yesterday, or is it there today also?
Today.
Today. Mahashivaratri. Actually, there's... Oh, my video's off. I'll turn it on.
Yeah.
So today's a day when we worship Lord Shiva. Or at least people worship Lord Shiva. Not something that Srila Prabhupada introduced, but it's also followed somewhat by Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because Lord Shiva is such a great devotee. But we worship Lord Shiva as a devotee instead of other people worship him in so many other misplaced ideas. Did you have anything that you wanted to talk about? Any questions or?
Yes, devotees have special questions or they would like to ask you.
Okay.
We have a little progress when we talk to India.
You're too far away for me to. It's breaking up. Yeah. Radha Govinda was very good because he's close.
Yeah. We had a meeting with Indian embassy. We told the last time that we were there.
Yeah.
And they were very open. They even invited us to the Indian Day. They had an. On the National Day of India, they had a feast.
Yeah, it's in summer.
And with this occasion, we made friends with the first secretary of the embassy. And they are very open to invite us to all their events that they will have from now on.
Very good. Very good.
In the summer, in June, they will have the Week of India. When they will have also Yoga Day, where they invite schools of yoga to have lessons, and they say that they will invite us too. Mm-hmm. And also they have other events where they say that they are very open to invite us to everything they have, everything that is regarding with culture, they will invite us.
Fantastic. Is there, aside from yoga groups, is there any type of organized Indian societies there in Bucharest?
We asked how many Indians there are here, and there are not so many. In Bucharest there are 300, 400, and in whole Romania I think was 1,000, 800 in the whole Romania.
Same as in Hungary.
Mm-hmm. And they don't. We didn't understand that they have something special for the regarding especially the spiritual part. But yoga is very popular in Romania, different types of yoga.
Yoga?
They said that we love much more Krishna than they. They said so. So they are very open to ISKCON, and when we went at this, to this event, they was very... friendly, and they say, all people, these people
is coming. You saw ambassador or the first secretary?
Oh, both. We talked with both.
Both.
And the ambassador is very friendly also. But especially we keep in contact with the first secretary, which is the first secretary for culture. Mm-hmm. They have two first secretaries. One is for culture and one is for economy.
That's right. What's the name of the ambassador? It's all right. I just wanted to. Then I can know what type of religion he is.
The first secretary name is Paltari.
What's the last name? Oh, Roy. That means he's Bengali. Uh-huh.
He's our man.
Yeah, should ask him, but Roy are Bengalis.
And I'll tell you right away the ambassador name.
Hmm. Good. It's very important. I think we talked about that last time, that it's the Indian connection is, India is the growing economy in the world, and everyone wants investment. When I'm in Delhi, I will go see Apollo Tires. They just built a $500 million factory, tire factory in Hungary.
Whoa.
So that's exactly, and the Prime Minister opened that. So just to make contact with those people, and it's always good that overall, whenever we have any connection with there in Romanian government, that they have a clear picture that we're sort of representing Hindu or Indian business culture. And that gives a good leverage in order to be able to do things.
The ambassador's name is Ramesh Chandra.
Ramesh Chandra.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be definitely first secretary if he's a Roy. Then that sounds very Bengali. And Ramesh Chandra could be, but in any case, it's a good-sounding name. Usually.
Yeah.
What else?
I have a question, if it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's about, for me, it's about faith, this question. And for me, to love Krishna, to love God, for me, is something, maybe it's materialistic view, but to love somebody, for me, is to see this personality. And how to develop this to not have this materialistic view to develop?
So you're saying, how can you have faith in a person you don't see?
Yeah. Don't see, don't talk.
Well,
it's a mind.
Mm-hmm. Because we hear, just like, do you believe in atoms?
Atoms? Yeah.
Have you ever seen an
atom? I think they are, but I don't see atoms.
But have you ever seen an atom?
No.
No. So because they're too small to see. But we believe in them because we hear from someone who's an authority who says that there are such things as atoms. Otherwise, I don't know, you're looking at the computer. That computer is just made up of atoms. But it certainly doesn't look like atoms. It just looks like a computer. It looks like metal or plastic. So similarly, we're actually very used to having faith in things that we don't see. Practically everything that we believe in, we don't see. You've not been to China, have you?
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah. But we know it's there because other people tell us. And we don't necessarily see it. So here the real thing is, who's telling us that God is like this? Because the principle of hearing, that's the real way of learning. That's how we really acquire knowledge. And in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Asita, Devala, Narada, Vyas. People who have seen God, just like there are a lot of Chinese people They live in China. For them, it's not an issue. Similarly, there's a lot of people who see God. And if we hear from them, those who have direct experience of God, then on the basis of that, we can have faith. But those people have to have a certain type of caliber, a certain type of quality. If they really haven't seen God, but they just talk all kinds of things, then they're not to be believed. So real quality faith depends on hearing from the right source. And if you hear from the right person, from the authorized person, then you can believe. And our parents are like that. We have faith in our parents, so whatever they teach us, at least until we become teenagers, we accept. And they tell us, you should behave like this, you should do that, and we just blindly follow what they say. Why? Because we know that they're authorized, they're well-meaning, they only have our interests at heart. They don't really want to cheat us. So the process of acquiring knowledge is really not based on seeing. It's always based on hearing. That's how in school we learn things. And there's so many other things that we learn that are all hearing-based. Same thing. And if we hear from the right source, from the authentic source, then actually by hearing, ultimately one can become qualified to see. For instance, music plays such an important thing nowadays in the world. People hear some beautiful song, now I'm just even talking about non-devotional song, and they fall in love with the singer, even though they may have not heard him, not seen him, but they fall in love with what they hear, because they sing so nicely and so on. So he may look like Frankenstein, but still you fall in love because he sings so nicely. So Shastra says Shabda, by one sees through sound. We see through transcendental sound. We don't see through our eyes. But it has to be from the right source. Anything further?
I have a question about material effort that we do, that we make to obtain certain results. And I heard from devotees that too much effort could be dangerous for our spiritual practice. And I would like to know better, to understand what that means.
Yes. Atyahara prayasascha. Just like everyone has to live, you have to work in order to live in the world. But you only have 24 hours a day. Everyone only has 24 hours a day. So what type of goals do we set out for ourselves in life? If someone wants to have a 10-bedroom house with 3 cars and so many things, and in order to achieve that, she has to work 20 hours a day and has no time for spiritual life, then that becomes an over-endeavor. It's unnecessary, because you don't need 10 bedrooms, you can only sleep in one. And many people are happy if they have one bedroom. And you don't need 3 cars, you can do with less. So if we learn how to actually live by what we need, rather than just aspiring for more what we want, then that will be much more in harmony with having enough time for spiritual life. Because it's something that we often encounter when we meet people, we tell them, chant Hare Krishna, read books, I don't have time. Why don't you have time? You've got time, you just prioritized it for something else, because the goal is too high. So with 24 hours in the day, if you really want to be serious about spiritual life, you have to dedicate 4 or 5 hours a day in spiritual practice. Where are you going to get that time from? So the other parts of life have to be adjusted. Most important thing we can say is our spiritual life, then our family life, and then work. But now, people do it in a different way. They're already brainwashed and programmed. You have to be an achiever, you have to be successful, you have to be very wealthy, and therefore they sacrifice everything. They sacrifice their spiritual life, they sacrifice their family, they sacrifice their health in order to attain some kind of goal, maybe, if they attain it, which may be rare. But the price that they're paying is their happiness, it's their spiritual life. They lose everything, and ultimately whatever they achieve, they're also going to lose that as well. So over-endeavor, too much. But one shouldn't endeavor too much for things that are difficult to attain. If you can be a millionaire by working 6 hours a day, that's okay. But if you can't, then see what comes out of 8 hours a day and just be satisfied with that. So it's a matter of actually budgeting our time and energy and making sure that we're very clear about what the priorities of life are. Different people have different karma. Some person will be a millionaire by not working, because that's their karma. And someone else, it doesn't matter how hard they work, they're never going to. All they'll do is they'll have a bicycle, they won't even have a car, because that's their karma. But our modern society has this false idea that everyone can reach their full potential. Did we talk about that last time, this full potential? No, I was talking with someone else. You've got to achieve your full potential. Anyone can be, I don't know, prime minister. Are there still a lot of protests going on in Bucharest about the prime minister and so on?
It's stopped, more or less. Uh-huh. There are a few people interested in this.
So they threw out that law about...
Yeah.
As long as you're not too corrupt, it's okay. First, it's 40,000 euros.
Was,
huh?
Sorry. In the end, was again a problem of communication.
Yes. Unfortunately, that's the state of our society. Who believes that politicians are honest? No one will really believe that politicians are honest, but they're the ones who are leading. And if you can't trust the person who's leading you, then where are you going? Where are we going? Anyway, that's one of the drawbacks of democracy. Unqualified leaders. Because especially most of the leaders are always all lawyers. And everyone knows that the lawyers are not trustworthy. Isn't it? That's what a lawyer is meant to do. If you killed somebody, then, and you tell that to a lawyer, he will stand in the court and try to prove that you didn't kill somebody. That's his business.
But exist political leaders who are devoted? Exist?
Do they exist? Not to my knowledge. They should be. They existed in the past. Ultimately, a leader has to be qualified to be a leader. And one of the qualifications is that he knows where people are meant to be going, what the purpose of life is, and he organizes society so that people can attain perfection. That's what a real leader is. He's facilitating self-realization. But actually, I'll just tell you something very interesting. I just heard day before yesterday, and it's confirmed, which sort of shows the power of a little devotional service. In 1976, which was exactly 40 years ago, was the first Rath Yatra in New York. And Prabhupada was there. And of course, you know what Rath Yatra is? That festival, cart festival. So it was also the celebration of Prabhupada being in New York for 10 years. So it was a big event. And they were preparing by having a very, very wonderful Rath Yatra festival with three carts, not just one cart, but three carts. So they constructed three carts. The question was where to actually build them and put them together. And there's not many free spaces in New York, because this is in downtown New York. But anyway, they found one. And interestingly, that property belonged to Donald Trump. So the temple president, Toshan Krishna, he wrote to the office, he wrote to his business, can we use this property for 3 months because we need to be able to build the carts? And interestingly enough, he gave the permission. In fact, when he went to get the agreement, he actually personally gave it over to him. So in that little devotional service, now he's the president. There's no other logical reason that he should be the president of America. He has absolutely no qualification. But he did a little service, he had a desire, Jagannath fulfilled his desire. That's very interesting. So bhakti is so powerful, even if you don't know that you're doing it, by doing it, you get extraordinary result. But this is a material result. The devotees don't want material results. They just want the spiritual result. Krishna gives material results very easily. You want to be president of the United States? Okay. But if you want to actually see Krishna, if you want to live with Krishna, and ultimately attain, like what you were saying earlier, love for Krishna, which controls him, that's a lot more difficult than becoming president of the United States. You really have to be willing to do a lot for that. So Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Paritya. You have to be willing to give up all other things in order to get that perfection. Is Moksha Rupa teaching cooking?
Yeah,
Now you teach your eye.
She's good. Teaching Matajis to cook now.
Very good. Very important. Okay, last one, and then I'll let you continue on with your program. Anyone have any other question?
Yes.
In this life, we can see Krishna.
Yeah. Yes. There's no. It's a matter of becoming qualified. The qualification is that we have to have the eyes to see him. Now, Krishna's everywhere. But in order to see, we have to develop the right type of vision. Atoms are everywhere, but you can't see them. And it would be difficult to see the atoms because they're so small. But Krishna's present within every atom as well. So he's even more difficult to see. But if we really desire not only to see Krishna, of course, but to serve Krishna, then Krishna will make himself visible. So Krishna is unlimited, and we're limited. So generally a limited thing cannot conceive of an unlimited thing. But because Krishna is unlimited, he can make himself known, visible, and he can even become subordinate to the limited devotees. But as you all know, the most powerful thing in life is love. When you love somebody, and they know that, you can control them. With other things, they're all temporary. Maybe you have some money, you can control people, but only as long as you have money. And even then, you don't have their hearts, you may just have their bodies. But love conquers Krishna's heart, and seeing Krishna, you can see him, you can live with him, you can exchange with him, just like the way we're doing now. But it's serious work. It's more difficult than seeing the atoms. Okay, I'm going to start getting ready to go out to this program Niranjan Maharaj is doing outside, and then I'll let you continue on with your program. And is there schedule for next time you're back, Radha Govinda?
Yeah, it will be in March, Guru Maharaj. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I can't say for now.
Fine.
But I'll let you know.
Okay. Like I said, I'll be here I'll be here in the middle of March, end of March.
Okay.
Okay, so I hope you have a wonderful day, and then we'll be in touch.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Please convey my obeisances to Niranjan Maharaj.
Okay, I'll tell him. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.